Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Archives go back for many years. They are free. And a lot of other stuff is free for you there as well. At freetalklive.com, here in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Jay,
and Joa.
All right, Joa, you and I were once again at the Concord District Court today as we were there for what was day number 5 of a trial for Footloose, who is an activist up here in New Hampshire. He's an interesting character, Footloose. He's a native. He spent some time inside the so-called justice system. He went into the state prison system for several years on a victimless crime, and they treated him very poorly there.
Yes.
So he's rightfully got...
They treated him good by the time he got out.
Well, he won a lawsuit against them, but you don't get the 4 years back.
No, you don't.
In his case. So he's not happy about the... You know, the continuous invasion of government into people's lives, and they continue to come after him because he's an activist.
And it's very selective, this invasion, because they're literally just letting certain types of activists get out of jail free. You know, Kamala Harris, a couple years ago during a Summer of Love, she's like, you know, encouraging people to donate to the bail of the Antifa rioters who were, you know, arrested and stuff. And I mean, I just think that is like amazing that. You know, the Crypto Six, you know, people got arrested and investigated. I think it's amazing you got convicted.
Yeah.
You know,
me too.
That, and, you know, 20 miles north of where I live, Ghislaine Maxwell was found hiding out in New Hampshire, and she's got 20 years in prison for basically offering, unspeakable things to children who are all politically connected, very powerful people, best that we can tell. And none of those people have been indicted.
Nope,
those people,
sure,
their names are like, you know, are still being covered up, all these people.
Well,
who
some of the names are being released, but nothing's happening about them.
And nothing is happening about it. So clearly the entire, and the fact that we have, you know, a straight up pedophile as president of the United States right now, you know, his daughters refer to him as that, his son calls him Pedo Pete or something in the, you know, we're talking about Joe Biden,
yeah,
is
right.
A pedophile.
In his phone.
And so we are, and we, the country is selectively, you know, going, it's just, it's all activism. And the, you know, the alphabet agencies have been, you know, weaponized to go after certain types of activists, certain types of people, because they want a control grid. And as far as I'm concerned, so this is just, you know, more evidence and more nonsense of just going after people who don't hurt people while, you know, pedophiles aren't being, dealt with and not being brought.
In Frank's case, all he did was go to a meeting. Which was an executive, they call it the executive council here in New Hampshire.
Yep.
This is the
elected positions.
Yeah, there are 5 elected positions. They serve with the governor. They're basically a check on the governor's spending. So if there's a certain amount, and I always forget whether it's $1,500 or $15,000, but it's low. There's a low amount that if there's a spending request for more than that amount, it has to go through the executive council before the governor can approve it. This was a $27 million, quote-unquote, donation or whatever, stipend or whatever you want to call it, from the federal government for COVID money that they were trying to receive. And so Frank Staples, a.k.a. Footloose, and a bunch of other activists, hundreds of people, including Bonnie was there. She was just outside because the room inside filled up. Because they took this police training center, like an auditorium for this police training center in New Hampshire, and that's where they had this meeting for specific reasons. They wanted to have a lot of cops on hand, and they wanted to be able to easily arrest a lot of people because a large number of people had turned out at the previous meeting and had made a ruckus at the previous meeting to the point where the executive council claimed they were afraid for their lives.
Oh, yeah, right.
And they canceled the meeting. Scheduled another one, and then this other one was then scheduled for the police training center. They had dozens of cops. Some of the witnesses in the case said as many as 70 to 80 uniformed officers there. So there may have been some more plainclothes officers. There were as many as 8 or 9 paddy wagons, I think was the estimate, that were outside of this particular event. They had the chairs zip-tied together behind a curtain that they had, and so they were expected. There was like a large curtain that divided half of the room off, and there was no one allowed behind that curtain, but there were a bunch of chairs back there.
Now, if they didn't cut it off, they could have had everyone in there pretty much. But no, the reason why they didn't is so that they can hound on just the few that are in there protesting, whatever. Right.
They wanted to outnumber the people that were in there, so when the time came, they could arrest the entirety of the audience for whatever trumped-up charges. In this case, it's their favorite catch-all charge, disorderly conduct. And essentially the trial, which, by the way, is 13 hours long.
Ooh, 13 hours.
Yeah, this was day number 5. It's been going over a period of 2 months. I mean, it's been pretty ridiculous how long this trial has been. But in the trial, the state has they've charged him multiple times with disorderly conduct. So there was the alleged disorderly conduct prior to him being arrested, and then there was another charge of disorderly conduct after he was arrested, when he yelled out "F this, I'm being arrested,
shut it down"
from behind this curtain, which again they had the curtain up to where they could take
people.
And this
is when cuffs were already on him.
That's right.
It's their fault. It's the cops' fault for allowing him to be heard when they're putting him in cuffs. So
they should have taken him outside.
They should have taken him outside. It would have been a lot less problematic.
But the reason why he was allegedly arrested in the first place, they said, was because he said shut it down, which he never said prior to being arrested. In fact, it didn't appear that he really said much of anything prior to being arrested.
Not even
Because they alleged that he said yeah at some point, but there's no real proof of that. And, of course, people are saying things during this event. There's, 100 people that were in there watching it. So, there's going to be some murmurs. There's going to be some, oh, how dare he? The people just commenting under their breath about what's going on the stage. But, interestingly, the actual meeting was never stopped, even at the time when a uniformed agent of the state police came out and issued a threat to the entire audience. The person who did this threat, this state agent, was saying it during the meeting. The meeting was not even stopped for her to make the threat.
Right.
So they couldn't even allege that whatever it was that was going on in the audience, which wasn't much. At one point, they stood up and turned their backs in mass to the stage to register their discontent, to register that they were unhappy with what was going on, but without making it verbal. So to do a nonverbal protest of what was happening. I thought it was a really cool idea, kind of powerful thing to stand up in a group and turn your backs to these people.
It's a great way to protest.
And so they were threatened for no reason whatsoever. At one point, apparently, Chris Sununu, who's the governor here in New Hampshire, actually said from the stage, he did apparently pause the meeting at one point and did say that you would be asked to leave if you're disrupting the event. But rather than ask people to leave, they just arrested them. They just arrested Frank, and they arrested another woman named Therese, which then caused the audience to be upset, rightfully so, because Frank and Therese weren't disrupting the meeting, and people could clearly see that because they were sitting near them.
Their wording was wrong. They should have said, if you interrupt, we're going to ask you to leave. What they should have said is, we're going to ask you to leave if you interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
They should have said it in a different kind of way, because then it's like you're setting it up where you have to ask again.
But they didn't even ask at all, right?
I know, really.
No one was asked to leave. They were just arrested.
Right.
And so they went back on what they even had said that they were going to do. And, of course, in order to get charged with disorderly conduct or criminal trespass, there's usually like a procedure of things that has to happen. And so Frank was arguing that they didn't even do this legally, that they didn't even charge him with disorderly conduct through whatever that procedure is supposed to be, that you're supposed to be specifically warned about your behavior. And so the whole thing was ridiculous. Frank got multiple people on the stand during his defense to essentially verify that Frank was not out of line. He was not speaking out of turn, and these were multiple people that were positioned in the room very nearby Frank, so they would know. Frank's a very loud guy, and when you watch the footage, you'll definitely see how loud he can be. So there were some pretty interesting things that happened, as anytime you watch Frank Footloose Staples in court, it's always entertaining, because he has, I don't know what exactly it is, but some kind of brain damage or whatever. I'm not sure what terminology.
Well, when you're in solitary for 5 years, yeah. This is what happens.
And so basically, he is able to get very loud and vulgar, very profane in many cases.
I mean, he even said "f you" to the judge today. Again,
was that today?
He did. Yeah,
I know he used the C word at one point, which we can't say on the air. I think actually at more than one point. And he called the prosecutor a name, Blinky, because the prosecutor likes to crush his eyes together while he's lying. So Frank's name for him is Blinky. At one point, Frank yelled out while he was on the witness stand at the judge.
Yeah.
He yelled out, "Stop effing disrupting my GD train of thought. Stop!" And I'm dialing that one down, right? He's yelling at the top of his lungs. At one point, he gets up, stands up when the prosecution tried to introduce a video from a completely different event.
That it was uncalled
for. Nothing to do. It was completely out of scope of the trial. Frank stands up and points at the prosecutor and just starts yelling at the top of his lungs. It was to the point where throughout this whole trial, Frank's been saying all kinds of things, called the judge an a-hole at one point. I mean, just anything the most crazy things you can think of that could happen in a trial, and never getting arrested for it. He actually did set the judge off to the point where he ordered Frank removed from the courtroom.
Yeah,
so that
finally.
Was the first time.
And this is what they were waiting for. And yes, the judge, I was witnessing it, the judge was antagonizing him.
He kept interrupting him.
Yeah, purposely interrupting him, to get under his skin, and I think that's what their goal was, say, to get him under his skin to the point where they had to throw him out, bring up things that meant nothing on purpose just to get him escalated. They knew what they were doing.
Though, to be fair, when he was thrown out of the room, you followed him out, but I stayed in to keep recording what was going on the record. What was going on was the prosecutor then basically gives up. The prosecutor then just said, "Well, we were going to ask him this, and we were going to ask him this, but at this point, we're just going to rest." So,
we have enough.
Yeah, the judge ended up overruling sustaining Frank's objection to this video that was completely unrelated.
Right.
And then the prosecutor's just like,
"Dirty tricks.
We're done here." The parties did their closing statements today, and. And ultimately, Frank kind of won and kind of lost.
I think it's a big win.
He won in that the initial charge, the initial arrest for disorderly conduct, the judge was real careful with how he worded this. The judge claimed that the police had probable cause to arrest him, but that the prosecution hadn't proved beyond a reasonable doubt the allegation, which is a senseless position to take, because it was an illegal arrest. That's why he wasn't found guilty, but yet the judge is trying to cover for them by saying, "Oh, well, the cops had probable cause to make an arrest."
Yeah, it's a cover your behind statement.
Right.
Is what it is.
And it's the reason he said it that way was because he then found Frank guilty of the other disorderly conduct charge that he caught after he was already in handcuffs when he was yelling from the back to let everyone know he was being arrested. Because they didn't want to arrest him in front of the crowd.
Of course not.
They wanted to remove him. They went up to him as he was sitting down, and they said, "Can you come with us?" And they said this to him and Therese, who were sitting right next to one another. And they got up, and they went to the back of the room, and that's where the arrest proceeded. So they didn't want anyone to see it happening, which is why Frank yelled out, hey, I'm being arrested, F this, shut it down. And that's when they charged him, or what they charged him with the other disorderly for. So he got convicted of that one, which, of course, wouldn't have happened if he'd never been arrested for the one that he was found not guilty of.
Correct. So this judge is a fool.
So it sounds like Frank's got a good appealable case in this particular case, and he did say that he intends to appeal this. So we'll definitely keep you abreast of what happened. Was there some highlights that you can remember?
I mean, when he got handed by the prosecutors some of the laws, some of the printed out laws, and he's on the stand, Footloose just decided to throw it.
That was the Constitution.
That was the Constitution.
He threw the New Hampshire Constitution off the stand.
So the prosecutor handed him the Constitution to, like, ask him for him to read something out of the Constitution?
Yeah, the Constitution actually got brought up as far as, like, the free speech provisions of the Constitution. And for whatever reason, they handed it to him, and he was reading from it, and then Frank just... I forget what he said before he chucked it.
Yeah, and the judge didn't do anything about that. Didn't say anything about that.
Well, I mean, the judge doesn't care if the Constitution gets trampled in his court, right?
I know, that's why.
In fact, at one point, the judge actually threatened the audience. Someone in the audience said, freedom of speech. And the judge didn't see who it was, and he stopped the trial and demanded to know who it was that had said that. And Frank steps in from the witness stand. It's like, you don't have to tell him.
It happened twice.
Yeah, it did. It did. Yeah. But one time it specifically was the words freedom of speech that the judge stops the trial and makes an issue out of and said he's going to throw somebody out. If somebody interrupts, blah, 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 he's going to throw you out of this court. So basically he was going to throw out anybody for freedom of speech in his court. I mean, it was just a perfect, total totalitarian moment in Concord District Court today. So all that's going to be in the video. All that and so much more will be there.
So now, there's two types of misdemeanors, basically. One of them that you can appeal it to a jury trial.
This is not that kind.
Okay,
This is what they call a Class B, which means, according to the state's definition, it does not have quote-unquote jail time associated with it. However, you can get a fine of up to, I believe, $1,200, if I recall correctly, on a Class B. This particular judge fined him $1,000 with half suspended on the condition of good behavior. But Frank said clearly, if you fine me, I'm not going to pay it. You're going to have to put me in jail.
Put him in jail. I'll sit in jail, too.
In New Hampshire, you can sit off a fine at $150 per day credit towards the fine. But they I've never seen this done where a judge will actually go ahead and accept that from a defendant. Normally the judge just issues the fine, that's the sentence, and then you have to get called back in later when you haven't paid the fine for a fine payment hearing. So this isn't over yet. There's going to be another hearing down the line where Frank hasn't paid the fine, and Frank specifically said, do not pay this fine for me, to all his supporters. He does not want to give these people money, and I don't blame them for that. I think that's the most principled stance that somebody can take, and kudos to Frank for standing up against these people. And it isn't even over. This particular case is over, but there was actually a second case that was scheduled, supposedly for right after this one, but the judge stormed out of the court as the entire audience was booing the judge.
You fascist.
As he's walking out of the court. So if they were planning on having that other trial, it got scuttled.
So something's got to be done with these prosecutors. And the purpose of checks and balances, as I learned about in U.S. history, right in public school, is that, for example, the judicial branch has the power of checks and balance to keep the executive and legislative branch in check. And so here in New Hampshire, we have 400 state representatives. We have, at least 100 of them that are like, have an A-plus with New Hampshire Liberty Alliance or an A?
Not that many.
Not that many. How many...
You might get to like 80 to 100 if you included B-minus people or something like that.
So we do have like at least 40 or 50 representatives that we would consider free staters, maybe. Is it that high? Or libertarian?
Yes. Yeah, I believe the claimed number by the Free State Project is as many as 50 free staters.
Okay.
And then you have maybe a few dozen more or several dozen more who are kind of with us more often than they're not.
So I would really like to encourage people, especially here in New Hampshire and everywhere, to start pushing their local legislature to use their powers of checks and balance against these prosecutors. These prosecutors are maliciously prosecuting people all over the place. Like my wife, for example, is being maliciously mm-hmm. prosecuted by basically the same prosecutor that's bringing these charges against Footloose and, you know, the rest of the Noble Nine that are, because that's all out of Concord Court also, right?
That's correct, yep. Although it's probably a different set of prosecutors because in our case, or in Frank's case, it's the state police.
Okay.
And in your case, it might be D.C.
No, it's a city prosecutor.
Oh, city.
But anyways, these prosecutors are just constantly engaging in malicious prosecution. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned, if there is no victim, if there is no injured party, it is a malicious prosecution. And we need to really push, especially in New Hampshire, I think we could do it, push the legislature to exercise their powers of checks and balances, and also against the governor. I mean, the governor should be sanctioned somehow against, by the legislature.
He was the original complainer in this whole thing about interruptions and that sort of thing. He should have been on the stand the whole time.
I know. That was the one thing where Frank dropped the ball, and he had enough time to get the subpoena done.
He would have to do that, but they're saying that, I don't understand why the prosecutors can just submit testimony by the governor. Sorry, I don't like to call him that.
So I would have objected to that. Because you have a right to face your accuser. That should have been a major objection in this case. In fact, he probably still has time to make that objection right now because you have a series of days after, whatever, to do an objection in writing, from what I understand. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what the procedure is to subpoena somebody, but I did give him contact info for a very effective private investigator who could have helped him with that. And I just think Frank had too much going on outside.
Sure.
He said he was homeless right now. He's homeless right now, so he's got a lot of personal stuff going on.
Yep.
He just wasn't able to get it done. But, man, that would have been the only way to make that trial even more entertaining would have been to have Chris Sununu, the so-called governor here in New Hampshire, on the stand and have Frank questioning him. Would have been just amazing to watch that happen. It's a shame that we didn't get to see that.
I mean, these prosecutors should not be prosecuting anybody unless they have the actual elements for the reason to bring a crime, bring a charge against someone.
Yeah.
There being an injured party, there being damaged property, or a contract violation. And I believe most people are being charged, or use of intellectual property, which I don't believe that's a crime, but I believe that's why and how almost everyone in these district court systems, the Concord District Court is just a United States, Washington, D.C. District Court. That's all they are. That's all they really are. People are using intellectual property. They don't even know it, and they need to start bringing it up in these courts. What intellectual property is this court protecting? That needs to be one of the questions asked to the court, and hold them accountable to that question by objecting when they don't answer it, or maybe they say there is no intellectual property. Okay, great, thank you. Who's the victim? Where's this contract violated?
Hopefully we're going to get to see some of that in your wife's case.
Yes.
Because definitely is something that people need to see happen before they're willing to try it themselves. But I look forward to it. Frank did actually try to call the prosecutor in as a witness, which was pretty entertaining. There's more coming up here. Wasn't allowed on the stand, but we're on the way here. It is Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
U.S. USA News Update. Attorney General Merrick Garland says the conviction of four Proud Boy members on seditious conspiracy shows the DOJ will do everything in its power to defend democracy.
We have secured the convictions of defendants who fought, punched, tackled, and even tased police officers who were defending the Capitol that day.
Garland said the evidence detailed the extent of violence that occurred at the Capitol that day and the central role the defendants played in setting it into motion. The accused Atlanta mass shooter will not have an initial hearing. 24-year-old Deion Patterson waived his rights to the initial hearing earlier today. He's charged with one count of murder and four counts of aggravated assault. Four horses have died at Churchill Downs just days before the Kentucky Derby. And now a Kentucky Derby horse has been scratched from the race and a trainer suspended. Dave Collins, USA News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do. Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here and bring up anything you want to discuss. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up, Jay is going to tell us about why 16 reasons why every kid should have a horse. But you say this applies to multiple animals, Jay.
You know, when I say horse, you can sort of apply a lot of these reasons to, you know, raise, you know, chickens, pigs, you know, sheep, whatever.
We'll get into that coming up here in a little bit. Plus, Joe, you want to talk about the Russian attack, the attack by, I guess, still unknown, a drone attack against
Moscow. Really the whole topic, but how much can we dwell on that? I don't know.
We'll talk about it coming up here as well. Of course, your calls and thoughts are welcome. By the way, Free Talk Live, this hour of the show is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. And they've been around for quite a long time. Dash is a great crypto. It's been around since as far back as 2014, so almost an entire decade now. Now, of course, Bitcoin was also originally designed to be used as digital cash, but Bitcoin's rising fees have made it useless for purchases, and the programmers refuse to do what it takes to actually fix it. Whereas Dash has always been focused on keeping fees low and keeping their network usable. They've got fees that are way less than 1 cent per transaction, and they've implemented some really cool features to ensure Dash remains undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. Yes. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and their network is protected from 51% attacks. Now, when you hear about things that are scary in the world of cryptocurrency, you'll hear from some of the Bitcoin maximalist types that, well, you can't use any other crypto because it's, you know, could be attacked. It's not secure. Well, Dash has what they call chain locks technology, and I'm not going to get into what that is, but if you're a tech person, you want to dig into it, that's what you want to look up, and that protects them from 51% attacks, the big scary thing that supposedly can take down the alternatives to Bitcoin, can't take down Dash. And there's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering your Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. It's one of the oldest cryptos, and it's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get Dash, and it's easy to use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. And big thanks to the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org and learn more about Dash. That's Dash.org.
Nice.
We go to the phones here. Josh is on the line to start things out here in New York. Josh, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, how's it going, everybody?
Hey, hello. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Not much. I wanted to talk about First Amendment auditors.
Sure.
So here, Breaking the Flaw is with you, right?
Breaking the Flaw, that is Joe's on, I guess, what do you call it, online name, for lack of a better term,
yeah.
Handle.
Yeah.
That is your channel name, Breaking the Flaw, on both Odyssey and YouTube, where you, Joe, are a First Amendment auditor. You go, can you describe right. briefly, Josh, what is a First Amendment auditor for our listeners that may not know?
Well, I might have a different definition, but First Amendment auditors, by the words of Josh Abrams, are individuals that go into public offices and stress test the Constitution.
That sounds about right.
Okay. Usually this involves a video device and just going into any supposedly public area of a building or government area and then just simply recording your experience there.
I personally wouldn't use the word stress test, I guess. Just because I'm not trying to stress anybody out. I'm just trying to exercise my rights.
Right.
If they get stressed, that's on them. I didn't try to invoke that.
That's a great point. You're just in a place where all people in the public are supposed to be allowed to be, and you're exercising your right to record. That's
exactly.
So I do have a question for Joe. So you're here protecting the First Amendment, right? So freedom of speech is the most important thing, right?
This is actually freedom of the press, I guess.
All rights are equally important, but the first one is the hardest one to get rid of because how do you get rid of my voice?
I mean, certainly you are. Yeah, you do speak during some of these things, but primarily this seems like a first, your First Amendment as far as freedom of the press, because that's what you're.
It's the First Amendment, right?
That's the primary, I would say, portion of the First Amendment.
And you can have silent audits,
right? In fact, I've seen you do that before too. I think.
Yeah. So my question, sorry, I don't want to interrupt.
No, sure.
My question, So being for the First Amendment and freedom of speech, you would never try to silence people that criticize you on YouTube, right? So you wouldn't do any illegal false copyright strikes to take down other people's videos who are criticizing you. Just so we're clear, right?
Oh, no, I completely disagree. I actually, just because I have a private channel, right? You choose to join my channel and subscribe. And I will delete defaming comments, comments that are meant to antagonize. I'll just remove them.
No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about...
So people posting my videos, right?
Yeah. Taking your video.
Correct.
Transforming it so that it becomes fair use under the Fair Use Act. You wouldn't go try to remove their videos because they're criticizing you, right?
Absolutely, I will. Right? Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Really, why?
Yeah, because they're doing it to try to defame, and they're putting out false allegations. If they told the truth, if they actually did the right thing and told the truth factually all the thing was going on, then I let them leave it up, and I've done that. Right? I won't remove their videos. Okay. But once you start lying about me and defaming, that's when I remove it.
Sorry. This is Frauder Troll. How's it going, buddy?
Well,
what's
your name? You're not welcome. He calls himself Frauder Troll.
Frauder Troll?
Yeah, he's not welcome on my channel. He thinks he's all special and stuff. No, you don't. You're not allowed to use my stuff. Actually, all of the stuff that you take from me, you're not allowed to use.
Strike on my channel to try to silence my free speech. Get this right. A First Amendment auditor.
Go ahead. I don't care. You can, go ahead. You can share this video because, not on my channel, but Ian's.
Okay. Yeah, I have a different viewpoint, Josh, than Joe. Just for the record, we don't all agree in this room.
Right.
My viewpoint is you can take whatever content that I put out and do whatever you want with it. I really don't care. Yeah. It's Yeah. So feel free, chop it up, edit it up, do whatever you want to do.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
No, I really want to come here because I reached out to Joseph over here, and what he did is it's exploiting the YouTube system because this is what happened.
It's not exploiting. He did it. It's a private company. Go ahead.
Okay, Joseph, let me finish, please. Okay. You did a copyright strike.
Yeah,
I did a counter notification. So then you would technically have to sue me to get the video permanently taken down.
That's
correct.
You've
been doing this for years.
Yes,
you know
I have.
Very well, the video is going to go back up. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to punish me because I have a different point of view as you. You're trying to apply a strike to my channel and punish me because I'm not on your side and I'm criticizing you. So even
you're falsifying facts. I've watched all of these. The ones that I remove are falsifying facts, defaming, slander.
No, it's not defamation. I covered the Footloose trial, and I was giving my opinion. I'm entitled to my free speech.
What is your opinion on the Footloose trial?
My opinion is that, honestly, he was acting a little bit deranged in the courtroom, and I showed it to my viewers. The two videos got about 35,000 views, and my viewers agreed that he was acting a little bit deranged, but that doesn't matter because I took Joseph's videos and I transformed it. I transformed it enough so that it's fair use, and Joseph knows that very well, but he's trying to silence me because he doesn't like what I'm saying, and that's why he is a hypocrite.
Were you saying something, just to clarify, Joa, Josh, were you saying things about Joa in the video about Frank?
I was not even talking that much about breaking the law. I was just focusing because he was live streaming the trial.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. I mean, you could watch the video if Joseph didn't take it down, right? But the video will be back up in 10 days. And basically, I was just, because I cover First Amendment auditors, many of them, I actually have a channel with like 32,000 subscribers. And so that's what I do. So I just covered them. And I give my opinion. I'm allowed to do that.
Yeah, you are.
Hold on, Josh. I want to get Joe a chance to say something here. Joe, you've alleged that Josh has made false allegations regarding you.
Like, yeah, that's typically how I remove other people's videos. Now, here's the thing. If you're going to use my video content, did you ask me? Did you ask me for it?
Okay, but that's it.
No. Answer my question. Did you ask me to use it?
No.
He doesn't have to ask. But hang on. It's polite. It's very polite. Wait, let me talk. I let you talk. So
yes,
you didn't ask. I know this is a fair use thing, right?
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
But then you're going to make false allegations, and that's what I'm going to do.
What's one example? I mean, can you give me one example of a false allegation?
Yeah, let's hear one.
Like, well, first off, like, they're saying Footloose is being belligerent. Well, he has an ADA submission to the court.
What about you? Was there a specific false allegation? I'm holding your feet to the fire.
Fair enough. I honestly can't remember off the top of my head right now, but, like, they do say things that are derogatory or defaming. Things are just false.
Let me just say one thing. There's two things. There's copyright, and then there's slander. If you had an issue with slander, you go the slander route.
Right.
You did a copyright strike saying that
you used my footage. Look, I'm not telling you can't talk about Footloose's trial. Go ahead, talk about his trial all you want, but just don't use my footage. Right?
Well,
I'm certainly not going to let a frauditor use my stuff.
Do you understand what fair use is?
Hey, why don't you go to the court, you can go record the court, and then we won't have a problem.
Well, I got to say, Josh has a strong argument here. Joe, you're my friend, but Josh has a strong argument from a legal perspective here that fair use does allow for not even just transforming a product, but also commentary. There's nothing wrong with you take, and you could do this to his video too. You could take his video and say, boom, this is where he told a lie about me. This is where he did this about me. This is not true. You would have the ability to do the exact same thing, and you wouldn't have to ask him for permission to do that either. You can also parody.
This is also slightly retaliation, okay? Because, wait, listen, I'll explain to you why I retaliate. because the frauditors like you have been striking my videos. Okay.
And I strike you, me personally.
No, but I am not going to allow it. I'm not going to allow it.
Can you even tell though? Who
so you're going to punish me for somebody else's sins because they falsely strike
people
you?
People that are getting my videos removed. Well, I'm just going to blanket get rid of the videos that are stealing from me, and we're going to solve that problem.
So you're putting everybody in the same basket. So
no, not everybody. I'm just putting you frauditors in the same basket. See, I'm lumping
right.
you guys into that category.
We put in the same basket. For example, News Now Houston did horrible crimes. Would I accuse you of crimes like that? Of course not, because you have to look at the individual. I've never done anything to you. I've never done anything to you. I've fair used commentary your video. That's it. And it's like, you know, it's not the first time. It's not a big deal. The video's going to go back up.
I don't care. I know it's going to go back up. I know
it is. I don't care. Why did you report it in the first place?
Well, for my video to be up there, you're going to have to ask permission to use it.
But you don't.
No.
They haven't. No one's asked me to use it.
You don't have to ask permission.
That's not how fair use works.
It's a courteous thing, right? Like that's
yeah.
No, it's
but look what look.
But you
if they
want to
use
to
it,
courtesy.
They can ask. Or if they take it and reuse it, you don't start defaming and slandering. There's a balance here that I'm going with.
In
other words, you let it stand by as long as they don't have bad things to say about you.
No, that's not true. No, this video is up that I haven't removed, even though I don't like everything that they have to say. At least they're not defaming and they're slandering, you know, or just talking junk crap.
Joseph,
it's not.
I'm just glad.
Josh.
That
hey,
I
Josh.
Talk to you.
Hey, Josh.
Yeah, I'm just.
You like using?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I'm just glad I got to talk to you because even your co-host is admitting that I have. In the legal terms, what I did is correct. What you did is incorrect.
Legal schmiegel.
That's why you know that
I have my own. I have right. I can do whatever I want with my stuff.
Yeah, I know, but you have just been exposed for being a hypocrite. You're fighting for free speech, but you're silencing people. That
it's
are
a private
you.
Channel.
You have,
it's a private platform called YouTube.
You have just been exposed for being a hypocrite because you are on one hand, you're fighting for free speech.
Hey,
and on the other
hey, frauditor,
hand, you are
you're the most hypocritical person out there so far because you don't like freedom. This is what fraud. This is the only reason fraud exists. He doesn't like freedom.
Freedom.
No, you don't. No, you like to exploit it. You like to exploit freedom.
You don't like freedom of speech. You don't like freedom of speech because mean people say bad words about you on the internet. You feel like you want to shut down their channels. Let me talk to the co-host.
Did I shut down your channel? I didn't shut down your channel.
If I get three strikes, the channel is shut down. You're trying
well,
to
silence. Well, that's what happens when you're on a
silencing.
Private platform called YouTube.
All right. What did you want to say, Josh? I know he's got a lot to say to you, obviously, but you said you wanted to talk to us, so go ahead.
Well, I said what I wanted to say to him. That's great. Thank you for the opportunity. At the same time, I just want to bring to light, like, you know, these First Amendment auditors. I understand you guys have an issue with the government and you know, certain parts of the government, but I just want you guys to realize that these guys are also causing harm. For example, are you familiar with the auditors in California and what their style of auditing is?
No, tell me about it.
You mean like filming churches and that sort of thing?
Yeah, exactly. So what they do is they go in public and they record churches and they try to harass people in public. They try to bait them into a confrontation and then they will either pepper spray them or
this is more defamatory talk that he's not giving you the full detail of what's happening. I personally don't do those kind of audits of private businesses and churches and that sort of thing. But you're confusing what's actually happening. They're not antagonizing. If people get triggered by words of like Shandu, ready Shandu, and action. If they get triggered by things like that, because I know exactly who you're talking about, and that's what they do. If people get triggered by that, that's on them. They're not antagonizing. They're not trying to start a fight. These people are coming up to them and assaulting them.
You're saying
so you're
that,
confused.
So just to clarify here,
well,
what
let
you're,
me just say one thing.
Hold on, Josh. I want to see
thing.
If I'm understanding the situation here. So you've got these auditors are outside on public property out front of a church or something.
Yes.
They're recording out there. Somebody comes out.
Wait, with weapons that are evident to try to alarm people.
Yeah, no, that's not.
They come out of your soap, but no. Just to clarify, they're coming. People are coming out of church. They see somebody with a video camera, and as tends to happen, whether we like it or not, and I think it's stupid when people are like this, but some people believe that they can't be seen in public and can't be recorded, and they will
agitated. I get it. I get
On
the sidewalk, trust me, I get it. I get it. If someone was recording, I wouldn't go up to them. I get it because I'm.
Oh well, there you go. You just answered your own thing then.
But you're saying that's what happens in these videos. People do approach the cameraman.
That's what happens.
They attack the cameraman and they get pepper sprayed.
One thing that's even more important is that who can violate the First Amendment? Who's the only entity that can violate your First Amendment? It's the government. Right?
Anyone that's asserting authority over you is the one that can violate your First Amendment.
Well, I mean, anybody that tries to stop you from speaking in a public place using a threat of violence
kind of like Joseph over here, right?
Okay. No, not like Joseph over here.
I mean,
I'm not threatening violence against you.
Joe hasn't threatened violence, but it does sound like he's using a system based on copyright, which, in my opinion, is going too far. But, you know, it's not my channel, and he can play the game however he wants
channel.
To.
Huh? Yeah, no, so what I'm saying is that First Amendment audits are supposed to be designed to check the government. These Californian auditors... They're not having that much luck inside the building, so they've taken it to the streets. So instead of just going,
they're looking
up
for a reaction.
That's
what you're saying. They're trying to get a reaction.
They're like prank channels.
Yeah,
and they're harmful. They are extremely harmful. The amounts of individuals, and a lot of time, it's going to be immigrants that aren't too familiar with
Josh,
the laws.
Josh, go ahead. I know Joe is not going to like me for this, but go ahead and plug your channel so people can go and see this controversial video. That you say is going to be up in 10 days.
Frauditor Troll on YouTube. Frauditor Troll.
All right, Josh, thanks for the call tonight. I do appreciate it here. So here's my viewpoint on this, Joe.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is like the more impact you have, and you have impact, there's no doubt. People watch your channel. There's probably 10 times more people watching you right now on your live stream than is watching on our Odyssey stream, I'm just going to guess. So you're very, very widely distributed out there. And you're going to get the haters. You know that.
Yeah.
The haters come along with it. And it's just like, to me, even if you were in the right legally, and I think he probably is right, that, and that's why his videos are going to get restored, and if you sued him, you'd probably lose.
Yeah.
But even if you were in the right legally, the amount of time, the amount of stress, the amount of money, the issues that you would have to spend time trying to swat down and resolve – to me, that's just a distraction from what your mission is. And your mission is to get out there and to do these audits, to get the word out about what's going on with, you know, overreaching government, all that stuff. And the more time you spend on the gnats is time wasted.
Oh, it was only a couple clicks.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. These people will rip off even my live stream.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm live streaming, and then
they'll restream it.
And, like, that is... That's not reviewing me. That is totally stealing my content.
They're not commenting
as
while
it's happening.
They're not doing a commentary over top of it.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, it's my content's my content. If you don't like it, go ahead. Take some legal action if you want.
So do you believe in intellectual property then?
To a certain degree, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So this is an issue that libertarians disagree on, right? There's a lot of liberty-minded people that don't believe at all, and I'm one of them, in intellectual property. You know, whatever you put out there is no longer yours. You put it out there, other people are going to do things with it, whether you like it or not. It may be nice to you, and it may not be nice to you, and that's just the way it is.
But see, here's the thing. All right, you can't you can take a picture of the Mona Lisa, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't take a picture of the Mona Lisa and say, "Hey, this is an original painting," right? So you can't claim that this is the original when you just took a picture of it.
Well, that would be fraud, but I don't see that as what. You're not alleging he did.
No, but he's directly stealing my content to not just make opinion. He's just slandering and just making fun of things and not actually divulging into it too far. And not all the videos out there that are, like, disagreeing with me are like that. So I leave those up.
Mm.
But once you start defaming and saying unfactual things, that's when I'm going to remove you because you're being fraudulent. You are a frauditor. You call yourself a fraud or troll.
I don't know. I would kind of feel good if somebody, like, took my YouTube videos and just started pushing them. I have a few YouTube videos on my YouTube page. But
what if they edited it up to make you look like you said something you didn't say?
Well, then I would just call him out as a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what he did, especially to my pepper spray video. They made it look like I was the aggressor by editing it out.
Really?
And, yeah, bleeping the swears that they were saying to me. It's like you're clearly distorting what's going on here and making it look like, no, that kid threatened me. And then you guys were saying, oh, he didn't threaten you. Clearly he didn't threaten you. I'm like, he clearly threatened me. You're not listening to what he's saying.
Hmm.
Like, so this is one example. I think that might have been the reason why I got that video removed. Because he's starting to say things that are not true, and you just heard it, so I'm going to pull it. You're gone, you know? You're not going to use my content to defame me when the truth is actually out there.
Yeah, that's a tough call, because I feel you. Like, I know where you're coming from, and I know the frustration of that, because the haters are going to tell lies. That's all they have, right? Like, they can't actually tell the truth.
So should I just let Brett Bart, list be up there with murderers, firebombers, and rapists? Should I just leave that up there?
My answer is more speech is the solution.
But I am going to sue Brett Bart for putting me up there as someone who assaulted someone when I never did that.
Yeah, I think you're well within your rights to bring that particular suit.
Now, Brett Bart's another YouTuber?
No, that's a new quote-unquote news channel.
Oh, Breitbart?
Yeah.
So they did some write-up about you or something?
Yeah. They quadrupled down on me assaulting Don Bolduc when reality he assaulted me.
Right.
Well, they might be someone worth going after. You might be able to get some kind of compensation out of them. But you could at least make a video about Breitbart and how they, that would probably be the most, the best activism you do. You make a YouTube video essentially going through, a case by case of, each point that they, whatever, lied to you or however they defamed you. And, so you get that out there to people so they can understand that, these guys, have this, reputation.
Yeah, I've done that.
And so I think that's really the best solution. And if you're going to sue them, great. If you can, defamation lawsuits are like nearly impossible to get anywhere with, from what I understand.
It can be tough.
Have you talked to any attorneys about it yet?
Well, that one guy from, he spoke at Liberty Forum this year.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, you know what his solution is? Well, unless you have $1 million, don't bother.
Wow. To pay him with?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was a joke. I don't know why they keep hiring him for Liberty Forum.
All right. We got more coming up here. You can join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. You can bring up absolutely anything that's on your mind. And libel, that's, a real thing as far as legal suits go. So maybe you got a chance with that. There's more coming up here. To me, it's just not worth the time. More on the way.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare, and the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
extend your life with Extend Over.